the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Spirit of the Lord.
Evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changed. Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us.
For the Spirit of the Lord.
providence is all around. Let the Spirit of the Lord is here.
There's another one.
A miracle can happen now.
Thank you.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here.
I love that.
Thank you.
praise goes on in our forever war. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on in our forever war. We lift the name of Jesus.
In your office.
Yeah, we got
yes.
It.
We didn't get it.
When did we get it?
Let's run that last time going into that. Your praise goes on.
Your praise goes on and on forever.
You are awesome in this place.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow.
see to Sequoia. I know, though the winter's long, even richer than the harvest it brings. Though my waiting prolongs, even greater, your promise for me like a seed. I believe in my season will come. Lord, I think of your love like the long winter sun, and as I gaze I am
in shadow, restlessly hold, labor's waiting in silent hope for the promise it longs to know.
Let's get ready. 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One, two, three, four, five. Praise God. Are we good? One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. That's the, if I touch this chord, that's the noise. Right. Well, sometimes it's unavoidable. One, two. Praise God. What do you think? Try it out. Praise God. Walking left. Walking right. Going right. Praise the Lord. One, two, three, four, five. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. You can try it out. As long as that doesn't fall.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We welcome those online to worship with us as well this morning. And we dare you right now to shout out hallelujah and give God praise. Come on, somebody shout it out. Hey! What makes us come alive? A sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised.
Come on, say,
you will be praised. Oh, you will be praised.
The light of force and grace, consuming every space, it's uncontainable. Our hearts are filling up, all things are possible.
Do you believe it?
Yeah. All things are possible.
Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. Praise. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus.
Help me say,
awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised.
Say it loud, come on.
You will be praised. You will be praised.
We say your praise.
Your praise goes on and on forevermore. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come is what we're living for. We lift the name of Jesus.
You can do better than that. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on.
God this morning as we are his living sacrifice.
to worship you. We lay it at your feet, Lord. Let it rise. Let the praise of his people rise. The service where we're going to have our prayer partners come forward. And if you need prayer this morning, we invite you. Don't be afraid. We want to pray with you and agree with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, you're Lord Jesus Christ our King, the name above all names.
Death could not hold you, fail to before you, silence the boast of sin. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Hey.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God, and written on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means he has authority over everything. No rival, no equal. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory this morning. We thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. That makes me so happy, because no matter what the prayer request, no matter what the circumstance, his name is the name above all names, above every name that could be named, whether it's sickness or disease or addiction or any kind of trouble that you may face. He has no rival. He is above it all. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you just greet someone, and you may be seated right where you are. God, how wonderful to see you this morning. I know this is it's the most traveled week of the year, this Thanksgiving week, and we have a number of our members that are away, but that have told us they'll be watching online. So welcome to our online church this morning. So glad that you could join us. you're a part of the service, even wherever you are in the country, around the world, and we welcome you this morning. I'm glad to be in the house today because I've seen the food that's out in the lobby. For one thing, the rest is I like to fellowship with the church. Amen. You know that I read something that Pastor Ed Young said. He said, "No Christian can be fully mature without being connected to the church." Because we are part of the body. So it's just like if you took an ember out of a fire, it can be burning hot, but you place it on somewhere on its own, and it soon just dies out, right? And it's the same with us as believers. We can stay on fire when we stay connected to the body, when we stay in the church. Amen? And so today I'm believing that we'll be, your heart will be warmed and touched and set on fire and encouraged by the word of God and by the fellowship of other believers around you. Amen. And we changing it up a little bit in the service today. We are welcoming everybody right now. And just want to remind you of the different platforms on which you can watch. And it's very interesting in this day and age because church is not just limited to a building, but it's extended. You know, it became a necessity through COVID. I mean, thank God we were already doing it. We already had an online presence, but whether you watch on YouTube, you can watch on Ascend Church on Jupiter on YouTube, you can watch on Facebook Live, or go back and watch previous services. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch on our mobile app, which if you don't have, download it. But what it does, it creates a footprint for our church that is beyond these walls. And so we very much appreciate those that are watching online. Let us know where you're watching from. If you're on Facebook Live, share the link because it invites other people into the service this morning. Amen. Amen. You know we're going to pass a clipboard by. If you just let us know that you're here, it's a great help to Pastor Steve. And if you don't receive, is anybody who doesn't get our church texts? Anybody doesn't get our church texts? Okay, that's fine. But for those watching, if you want to receive our text, you just text the word ASCEND, A-S-C-E-N-D, to 561-745-5404, and you'll get an update on what's going on. It really helps. I know even with the kids' church teachers, they're in kids' church and they miss the announcement. Hey, Allison, you can always get that updated text to let you know. So we're glad about that. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you're here in the service for the first time, we don't embarrass you. Would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? I know anybody going to raise their hand? I think. Yes, welcome. I know you came with Shannon and Jason and were great help setting up this morning. Hate to put a visitor to work on their first visit, but I hope you enjoy the service today. Praise God. Well, we're going to, at this time in the service, we're going to receive the offering. And there are envelopes in the seat in front of you or for the front row behind you. There's various ways that you can give. Comes up on the screen. If those are watching online, it's real simple. Just push give, and we really appreciate those that faithfully give online. We have people that give reoccurring giving online that we haven't seen in a long time or live in other places, and we're very thankful for your support of Ascend Church. But I always like to read a scripture because it's important that whatever we do, we base it on the Word of God. Amen? Do you know the Bible is not just a book written about God? It is the Word of God. Anybody believe the Word of God is worth listening to? Let me read a passage from Malachi with regards to the offering. It says, "I am the Lord all-powerful." So we know who's talking, right? We know this is the words of God to us. It's worth paying attention. "I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse." The storehouse is the church, it's the body. "So that there will be food in my house." God cares that his house is provided for. Amen. He says, then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. Say that. Say, God will flood me with blessing after blessing. Now, if we believe this is the word of God, we pay attention to it. We think about it. Do you think that God can lie? The Bible says he cannot lie, right? He says, I will also stop locusts from destroying your crops. And he's using this language because he's talking to farmers. He said, and keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord all-powerful, have spoken. God is all-powerful. We agreed to that. We've been singing about it, how powerful he is. And yet sometimes I think we look at our circumstances, or we look at the economy, or we look at our job situation, and we doubt that God is able to bring blessing after blessing to us, that God is able to provide. But I want to turn your attention back to the Word of God, because that's what we base all our faith upon. I believe that when I bring my tithe, he says, bring it, bring your tithe, bring your offering into the storehouse so that my house is provided for, and test me. He says, I'm challenging you to test me. So I want to challenge you today, test God, and then put your faith in it. And when you walk out of here tomorrow, the next day, whatever you face financially, you go back to the Word of God and say, Father, I take you at your word, because you are all powerful and you have spoken. And so I thank you that you're flooding me with blessing after blessing, that you're stopping locusts from destroying, you're stopping the thief from stealing, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you prepare to give, I want us to make this confession of faith. I think it's really important now that Pastor Steve's been teaching on faith, because we face it ourselves. And I hear it in the words of people that I speak to, is that we pray one thing, or we hear the word, but then when our circumstances don't line up, we have a challenge putting our words in order, keeping our words in line with what the Word of God says. So I'm going to help you with that today. Let's say this together. Say, because I support God's kingdom by tithing and giving, God has pleasure in my prosperity. Therefore, I am believing God for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, blessings and increase, rebates and returns, checks in the mail. Right, Samantha? She sent me a picture this week. Gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, reclaiming that one, debt free, completely debt free, creative ideas, houses and lands. Say, thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What you did right there is you just put words to your faith, because everything that that is in that confession comes out of the Word of God. It's all based on the promises. It says, I'll give you houses you didn't build. Isn't that interesting? How far can we stretch our faith when it comes to believing God? I want to stretch my faith even further. How about you? So let's go ahead. Father, I thank you for each and every family represented. I thank you, Father, that you are flooding them with blessing after blessing. I thank you, Father, that we will have one after another testimony of your miraculous hand. I thank you for new contracts of business, for great deals being taking place in these people's favor, Father. Thank you for favor in the workplace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and give right now.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Well, you know, let me just say this, that I love what Pastor Jill just shared, because when you when you give and when you tithe, you want to do it with faith. You want to do it with expectancy. Amen? So I want to thank all of you who are faithful to give and faithful to tithe, because really that's what enables us to be here every week. That's what the Bible says, that the Bible says to bring our tithe into the storehouse so there can be food in God's house. Now today, I'm going to feed you with God's word. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. I'm going to feed you with God's word today. And the reason I'm able to do that is because of the faithful tithers and givers in this church. So I want to thank you for all those who tithe and give so faithfully. I want to thank you for that. And I want you to know that we are trusting God for you for financial breakthroughs. We are trusting God for financial increase. We're trusting God for financial blessing in your life. Are you trusting God for that too? You don't have to be quiet in this church. You can just say it out loud. Amen. We like that, don't we? Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get into God's word this morning. We changed it up a little bit today. So won't you stand with me? You know, this week is Thanksgiving. And how many of you have got something you can be thankful to God for? Wave your hand if you've got anything in your life that you can be thankful to God. Because can I tell you that every good thing in your life is from the Lord? The Bible says every good gift comes down from above. Every good thing in your life is from God. And you can be thankful that you're here today. You can be thankful you're healthy. Be thankful you got a job. Be thankful you got a home. Be thankful you got a family. Be thankful for God's goodness in your life. Amen. We're going to worship Him. And the Bible says that when you worship God, that He inhabits your praise. In other words, when you worship God, that's what brings God's presence. It's what brings you into God's presence. So let's worship Him together. Yes, Lord. We praise You.
Let's set the atmosphere for a breakthrough. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with Your love. Your love. You're the reason we came to encounter Your love. Your love surrounds us. Yeah. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. One more time. The atmosphere is changing now, for the
cry out for them. Overflow.
Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Sing your love. Surrender.
Today, we thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us, to guide us, to teach us. Oh, we're so thankful, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would touch every person. We need your presence, Lord. We need your presence. We came here. It's the reason we came, to meet with you. I pray, Lord, that every person here today and all those watching, that they would experience your presence. That your anointing would touch every life, because it is, your word says, Lord, that the burden will be removed because of the anointing, and the yoke will be destroyed. And I thank you, Lord, that by your anointing, that you destroy yokes from people's lives and you lift burdens from people's lives. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And I make it known that I'm depending and I'm trusting in you, Holy Spirit, that you will enable me, that you will speak, that you will teach, that you will bring revelation, understanding. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and smile at them. Tell them, I'm glad to see you today. I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you to our worship team, our singers and musicians who do such a great job every Sunday of leading us into God's presence. Amen. All right. Are you here this morning? You're still chatting? I just said say hi. Good to see you. I didn't say get in a full-on conversation. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready to receive the living word of God today. Life-changing word of God. Amen. Well, praise God. Today, we are concluding the series that we've been talking about the past. This is actually week number seven. This is week number seven. We've been talking about the power of faith. And again, I want to say that if you missed any of these sermons, in fact, even if you didn't, even if you were here in all of them, how many of you, anyone who was here in all of the sermons the past 7 weeks, you didn't miss one, wave at me. Wave at me. Wait, keep waving. Good for you. Now, even if you were here in all seven, I would encourage you to go and watch these sermons again. We have them on our app. I've been studying and preaching about faith for over 40 years. And let me tell you, I feel like I'm just starting to get a handle on it. So you've been here a year and you're like, oh, Pastor Steve, I already heard it. Faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. You've got to keep on hearing it. So this is part number seven of the power of faith. And we found out that without faith, you can't receive anything from God. Without faith, you cannot receive anything from God. So we've been talking about the fundamentals of faith. In other words, how faith works. The first thing that we've seen is that faith comes by hearing God's word. Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith in God comes by hearing his word. And the New Living Translation, I think, says faith comes by hearing the good news about Christ. Secondly, once you hear the word of God, you believe God's word in your heart. This is our faith. This is the fundamentals of faith. You hear God's word, then you believe God's word in your heart. Number three, then you speak it out of your mouth. You hear God's word, you believe it, and then you speak it. Romans 10 verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And in fact, the New Living Translation says that's the message. That message is the very message about faith we preach. Paul said, this is what we preach about faith. The word is in your mouth and the word is in your heart. Are you with me? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So notice there, that's what faith is. Believing in your heart what God says in His Word, and then declaring it, speaking it out of your mouth. And then number four, then you act on your faith. You put actions to your faith. James 1:22 says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James 2:26 says, Faith without actions is dead. Faith without actions is dead. So to put action to your faith, it simply means you act like you believe the Bible is really true. You live and you talk all the time as if the Bible is really true. And it's really speaking to you. Amen. Hand me a Bible, somebody. Hand me my Bible. Thank you. Let me tell you what I'm holding. Thank you, babe. Thank you. You know what? In the beginning, the Bible says, John 1:1, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What I'm holding in my hand here, family, and what you are blessed to have, and if you like me, you've probably got a number of different translations. I mean, I've got shelves at home full of different translations of the Bible. Can I tell you what this is? This is just as much a manifestation of God in the earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a manifestation of God Himself. So when you read the Bible, that's God talking to you. That's His Word. Amen. We found out about the woman in Mark chapter 5 had the issue of blood. She followed these fundamentals of faith. First, she heard about Jesus. She heard the good news about Jesus and faith came. She believed what she heard. Then she spoke of faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. And she kept on saying, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. She believed it in her heart and she said it with her mouth. But that wasn't the end of it, because she put action. She acted on what she believed. She got out in the street and she pressed through the crowd of people that were surrounding Jesus, even though she was risking her life, because it was illegal for her to be out in public because she had an issue of blood. By Jewish religious law, she wasn't supposed to be out in public. She could have actually gotten stoned. She was risking her life by getting out there and saying, man, if I can get to Jesus, I'll be healed. But she did it. And she put action to her faith, and what happened? She was healed. And Jesus said it was her faith that healed her. These are the basic fundamentals of faith. I hear God's Word, I believe God's Word, I say what God's Word says, and I act like it's true. It's just that simple. Now, what are you watching? When you watch the Super Bowl, or you watch the World Series, or the U.S. Open, or Wimbledon, or the World Cup, something of that nature. You know what you watch? You are watching masters of the fundamentals. You are watching athletes that love their sport, that stay with their sport. They eat it. They sleep it night and day. They practice, practice, practice. That's how they become champions. Would you agree with that? Let me tell you, I want you to be a faith champion. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I want you to be a faith champion, like in Hebrews chapter 11. And let me tell you, if you're going to be a faith champion, you've got to master the fundamentals of faith. You've got to love the Word of God, man. You've got to feed on the Word of God. You can't get enough of it, man. You stay with it. You practice, 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 practice. You're listening to God's Word every day, man. You just, when you find a scripture that speaks to you, you get so excited about it. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to have a Walkman. That's like a little cassette. Do you know what a... Do I have to first explain what a cassette is? But I had this Walkman, and I used to have preaching. I had preachers that you could buy their sermons on cassette. I never thought I'd have the day that I'd be explaining. And I had this little Walkman, and I would listen to different sermons all the time. I mean, wherever I was, if I was going to the gym, I'd have my Walkman on and be listening. This is as a teenager. I was always listening to the Word of God. And can I tell you, I'm still doing that today. Because you're not going to master the fundamentals of faith and become a faith champion just by coming to church once a Sunday. If you think you're going to be a faith champion by coming once a week, you're deceiving yourself. You got to be, man, you got to put God's Word first in your life. You got to love the Word of God. You got to be committed to the Word of God. Get excited about the Word of God. Believe when you read God's Word, that's God speaking to you. You got to meditate on the promises of God's Word. Use your faith on purpose. Practice, practice, practice. Use your faith to believe God for things. You know, don't wait for some kind of a crisis where you got to believe God for a major miracle. Got diagnosed with cancer. No, use your faith to believe God now to heal you from a headache. So that when the major thing comes, your faith has been built up. You believe God now to put gas in your tank instead of waiting till you need $100,000. Use your faith on purpose, and you know what will happen? It'll grow. Believe God. Amen. Don't wait till you need faith to believe God for a healing from some kind of terminal disease. Man, if the enemy tries to put a headache on me, I say, thank you, Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I resist this headache. I refuse to accept it. I could easily take a headache tablet, but I want to build my faith up. I want to master the fundamentals of faith. And let me tell you, there are some fundamental hindrances to faith. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to close this series by talking about things that will hinder your faith. So let's start out in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, in the same way, you husbands must, say must, give honor to your wives. And all the wives said, don't be shy now, ladies. I want to hear you, okay? Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, I'm trying to get the ladies on my side as I start out here. The wives on my side. But can I tell you, the word hinder means to hold back. It means to slow your progress or to delay you. Do you know the first thing that will hinder your faith is mistreating your wife? Not honoring your wife. Amen, wives? Amen, wives? Do I still have you with me? Secondly, the second hindrance to your faith is a lack of knowledge about faith in God's Word. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you know that there are many Christians whose lives are being destroyed, maybe with sickness, maybe they're really sick, or maybe finances, they're bankrupt, or depression. And it all comes down to because of what they don't know. Because when the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, what's God talking about? He's talking about a lack of knowledge of His Word, a lack of knowledge of who He is, a lack of knowledge of what belongs to us in Christ. You can't exercise any faith for things you don't know about. In 1 John 5, verse 14, the Bible says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Another word for confidence is the word faith. This is what gives us faith. when we ask God for anything, that if we ask according to His will, then He hears us. We know He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. So the key for me to pray with faith and confidence and know that God heard my prayer is I got to know that whatever I asked Him is according to His will. So faith begins where the will of God is known. And how can you know God's will? Well, God's word is His will. God's word reveals His will. The more that you know the word of God and study the word of God and get familiar with the word of God, the more you will understand that what God's will is. Are you with me? If you don't know that God wants you well and God wants you healed, if you don't know that healing is God's will, you can never believe Him to heal you. If you don't know that, you know, you can't pray for finances if you don't know that God wants to prosper you. Is it His will to heal you and to prosper you? Yes. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says it in 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God says, I want you to prosper, and I want you to be in health, just as your soul prospers. So is it God's will for me to be healthy? Yes. Is it God's will for me to prosper? Yes. How do I know it? The Bible revealed it to me. Are you still here? The Passion Translation says it like this. I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health. That's God's will for you. It's God's will that you prosper and that you are in health. John prayed this for us. And knowing God's word is essential to operating in faith. Jesus said in John chapter 8, He said, if you abide in my word, and if my word abides in you, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, the more that we abide in God's word, the stronger your faith will be. Are you with me? Number three, the third thing that will hinder your faith is doubt. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, say but, how many of that means there's a condition? But, let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says that if we doubt, we must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Doubt will rob you of God's blessings. Remember when Jesus walked on the water? Remember the story when Jesus went walking on the water and the disciples saw him? They got afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, command me to come on the water. Remember that story? And what happened? It says in Matthew chapter 14, so Jesus said, come. And when Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Say, he walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, it was boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Thank God when we're going down, Jesus is there to reach out his hand and catch us. And he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I'm not criticizing Peter, because I haven't walked on water yet, but he got out the boat and he's walking on the water and then he started to sink. Why did he sink? Because he began to doubt. Why did he doubt? Because he looked at the wind. It was very boisterous. How many of you know that you can only walk on water on a very calm day? Don't try it if it's windy. But if it's calm, you're okay. How many of you know that walking on water has got nothing to do with whether it's windy or not? So the wind had nothing to do with it. But Peter got his eyes off of the word. Jesus said, come. And he looked at the wind and he started to get afraid and he started to doubt and he started to sink. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says we don't look at what we can see with these eyes. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot look at your circumstance and stay strong in faith. You've got to keep looking at what does God say? What does God say? What does God say? What does God? That's how you stay strong in faith. You keep looking at what He says. Amen, somebody. Number four, the fourth thing that will hinder your faith is looking at your circumstance. That's why Abraham was so strong in faith, because he refused to look and consider his own body. He believed what God promised him, God's word to him, that he would have a son, even though he was 100 years old. And even though his wife Sarah was incapable of having children, Abraham didn't let doubt rob him. The Bible says in Romans 4 verse 19, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And the Living Bible says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing before it ever happened. That's one reason that his faith grew stronger. It's because Abraham praised God for the blessing of his son before it happened, and he didn't even consider his own body. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He kept looking at what God said. That's why he had strong faith. Are you with me? See, doubt and unbelief will stop God's power in your life. It stopped Jesus from doing miracles in his own hometown of Nazareth. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, that he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now, when Jesus would go to a city, sometimes every single person in the town that was sick would be healed. The entire city. So he goes to his own hometown and just a couple of people, and another translation says, with minor ailments. In other words, there's no major miracles, just small things in his own hometown. Why? Because of their unbelief, because of their doubt. And Jesus marveled. So, and then what did he do? He went around teaching. Because let me tell you, the cure for doubt is teaching. Faith comes by hearing God's word. People have to be taught the word of God. As you are listening to this series over the last 7 weeks, your faith has grown because of the teaching of God's word. Amen? Number five, the fifth hindrance to your faith is letting go of your confession of faith. In Hebrews 10 verse 23, it says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. Now, you've got to hold firmly to your confession of faith. The enemy will try and bring thoughts of doubt to your mind. But whatever you do, don't speak them out. Because a thought that is unspoken will die unborn. But the moment you speak that thought out, you give life to it. Are you with me? Because the enemy brings thoughts to my mind all the time of doubt. He tells me all the time that this isn't going to work, that's not going to work, that you're going down, this is that, all kinds of stuff. And what do I do? I don't speak those words out of my mouth. You don't have to speak everything comes in your mind. Because not every thought's from God, not every thought's even from you. Some of those thoughts, the enemy's coming in your mind, and what he's trying to do is get you to speak it out. Let go of your confession of faith. Are you with me? Jesus said you're going to have what you say. So many people, they hinder their faith because they let go of their confession. They say what they feel, or they say what they see. No, you got to say what you believe. Number six, another hindrance to faith is a lack of endurance. Quitting. Hebrews 6 verse 12, I believe is, it says, don't let your hearts grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God had promised because of their strong faith and their patient endurance. You see, if you're going to receive everything God has for you, you've got to have faith and you've got to have some endurance. Endurance means the ability to last, to be able to bear opposition without giving up, to be able to withstand pressure. Are you with me? In Hebrews 10, verse 35, it says, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. You need the strength of endurance, then you receive the promise in full. We're never going to receive everything God has planned and destined for our life if we quit and give up. In order to receive God's promise, you've got to have endurance. You've got to keep on believing God and keep on confessing your faith and refuse to quit. Number seven, the seventh hindrance to our faith is failing to act like God's word is true. I mentioned it earlier. James 2:26 says, faith without actions is dead. Faith doesn't work without actions. You just got to act like God's word is true. Like you really believe it, and it will become a reality in your life. I heard Kenneth Hagin tell the story about a man named Dr. A.B. Simpson. He was a Presbyterian minister. He actually founded the Christian Missionary Alliance. I don't know if any of you have heard of them. But when he was 46 years old, Dr. Simpson, he was diagnosed by doctors. They told him that he had a heart condition and they gave him 6 months to live. He'd heard so many testimonies of healing in his life that he decided to take a 2 week or a short leave of absence, and he went to his farm. He was going to spend time just studying the Word of God. And after 2 weeks, he wrote and he said, after searching the Word of God for 2 weeks, I'm convinced that the Bible teaches that divine healing is for us today. And today I accept Jesus as my healer. And I declare I'm now healed from heart trouble and I'm well. And I promise God that I'm going to use my newfound strength and my life and my energy for His purpose and to further the gospel. And I promise that I will share this truth of healing with others and I will help them as best as I can. So just shortly after that, he was invited to speak at a luncheon. And he got up and he spoke on Matthew 8, verse 17. He took our sicknesses and he removed our diseases, because that's the scripture that the Lord really pointed out to him while he was spending time studying God's word. He told his testimony, how he'd been searching the Bible and how he came to the conclusion that Jesus is still the healer. And after lunch, some of the men invited him to go mountain climbing. The thought immediately came to him that he wouldn't be able to go because of his heart condition. Then he remembered that he had declared that he was healed. And up until this point, he hadn't actually felt his healing. He'd just been declaring it. So he decided he's going to put action to his faith, and he's going to go climb the mountain. He battled all the way up the mountain. Every time he got his mind off of that scripture of Matthew 8, 17, he himself took our sicknesses, bore our diseases, he would begin to feel worse. But the moment he began to claim his healing and say, thank you, Jesus, that you took my sickness, you bore my diseases, the moment he began to proclaim it, all the symptoms would go away. And so he fought his way all the way up to the top of that mountain. When he got to the top of the mountain, he walked out victorious. All the symptoms had gone away, and he went on and lived to be 76 years old. He put action to his faith. I hope you're getting this today. The eighth hindrance to your faith is worry. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus said, the seed, talking about the seed of God's word, that fell among the thorns, it represents those who listen and believe God's words, but whose faith afterwards is choked out by worry. Do you know that worry and faith are opposites? Worry and faith don't go together. Worry will choke out your faith. You got to make a decision. You refuse to worry. I just made up my mind. I refuse to worry. I don't care what is going on. I am not going to worry. Why? Because if I worry, that is, I'm basically negating my faith. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 14, make up your mind not to worry. Tell your neighbor, I made up my mind. Tell him, my mind's made up. I refuse to worry. I trust God. And then lastly, and I'm going to close with this because I'm going to take a little more time. The last hindrance to your faith, number 9, is unforgiveness. Now, I've left this to last because this is the only hindrance that Jesus actually spoke about. Now, if you read through the Gospels, you'll see there are a number of things that hindered people's faith. But this is the only one that Jesus actually spoke about. You see, faith does not work in an unforgiving heart. In Jesus' greatest sermon about faith, in Mark 11, look what he said in verse 22. Jesus answered, he said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Now look at verse 25. And, how many of you know and means he's not finished speaking yet? And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. The New Living Translation says it like this. First forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Do you know that if we do not forgive those who have wronged us, that God can't forgive your sins either? Isn't that what it said? Jesus is teaching about faith, and he talks about forgiving. Why does he talk about forgiving? Are they connected? Yes. Unforgiveness will hinder, it'll stop your faith. In Galatians 5, verse 6, the Bible says, when we are in Christ Jesus, it's not important if we are circumcised or not. The important thing is faith. The kind of faith that works through love. Do you know that our faith works through love? Do you know that love is the power behind your faith? Do you know that your faith will not work without love? And love forgives. Unforgiveness is the only hindrance that Jesus actually mentioned. So it must be important. In fact, if my prayers weren't working, the first place I would look is, do I have any unforgiveness? Am I holding a grudge against anyone? It's the first place I'd look. Kenneth Hagin said that in his experience of over 50 years of ministry and talking to thousands and thousands of people, he found that unforgiveness was the number one reason why people's faith didn't work and why they didn't receive answers to prayer, was because they were holding unforgiveness in their heart. Pastor Theo, my pastor, I remember him telling a story years ago when they just started out in the ministry. And he was asked to go pray for one of the members of the church who was in hospital. It was very, very serious. And so he went to go see her. And when he was going to pray for her. He was going to lay his hands on her, because the Bible says the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So he was about to pray for her, and the Lord stopped him and said, no, don't pray. She has unforgiveness towards her father. So he stopped and he said to her, is there anyone you need to forgive? And she said, yes, I need to forgive my father. He had abused her when she was young. And she had all this bitterness against him. And Pastor Theo said, listen, you need to forgive him. Because if you don't forgive him, you're not going to be able to receive forgiveness and you're not going to be able to receive your healing. And so he said, here's what you should do. Write a letter just telling your dad that you forgive him. And I will go mail that letter for you. And she did. He went and mailed the letter, came back, prayed for her. She was healed. The next day she was discharged from the hospital. You see, in life, we all have things that happen to us that are unfair. And we can choose to hold on to that and become bitter, become angry, let it poison our future, or we can choose to let it go and trust God to make it up to us. Are you with me? In Colossians 3, verse 13, the Bible says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Because you're going to get an opportunity, I guarantee you. Be ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's strong language. It's not you should, I recommend it. You must forgive others. Remember, be ready to forgive. Don't ever hold grudges. You must forgive. The word must, I looked it up. Do you know what it means? It means to command. It means to be obliged to. It means a requirement. God requires that you forgive in order to be forgiven. Let me read it from the Passion Bible, Colossians 3, verse 12. Be gentle, humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Say, I'm unoffendable. You can't offend me. Most people are not unoffendable. They're highly offendable. Be unoffendable. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of maturity. Let me tell you, the more that you walk in the love of God, the more mature you become. We must forgive others, the Bible says, the same way that we've been forgiven by the Lord. When Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, in one part of it, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, he said, Forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Notice that. Forgive us, Lord, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Did you really ask God to forgive you just the same way that you forgive other people? Do you really want God to treat you like you treat the people that you work with? Do you really want God to forgive you like you've forgiven your ex? Are you really serious when you say, Lord, I want you to forgive me the same way that I've forgiven those who wronged me? Because let me tell you, it is mind-boggling that some of us who say we've been forgiven of so much are so stingy when it comes to sharing that forgiveness that we have been given. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Maybe not, but you do. And when you don't forgive them, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. I'm not forgiving for their sake. To be honest with you, I'm forgiving for my own sake. Jesus said it again. He repeated it again in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I want God to forgive me. I need God to forgive me. That's why I must forgive those who wrong me. It's amazing. We who've been forgiven of so much, often we struggle to forgive other people of so little things. And you know, some of us even struggle to forgive ourselves. Because if you don't give forgiveness well, you can't receive it well. Are you with me? Some cannot even conceive that a guilty person can be forgiven and exonerated. So when they do something wrong, they carry their own guilt for years and years and years because they cannot conceive that the mercy and grace of God is able to forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. When Peter asked the Lord about forgiving others in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter got up the nerve, the Message translation says, and he said, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? 7 times? And he thought Jesus is going to go, "Whoa, Peter. Dude. Whoa, 7 times. Peter, you're the man." What did Jesus say? 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. What? I thought I was doing good. 7 times. Someone wrongs me. He said, "No, 70 times 7. Jesus then went on right after that, and he told this parable about a man who owed a king a debt of 10,000 talents. It's equivalent to millions, maybe even billions of dollars today. And the scriptures say that he could not pay the debt. So the king ordered that the man and his wife and his kids and everything he owned be auctioned at the slave market to pay the debt. The man fell down at the king's feet, begged him for mercy, asked him for more time to be able to pay the debt. The Bible says the king was moved with compassion and he forgave the man the debt. He totally forgave him the debt. As soon as the man left the king, he went and found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, which is about 3 months' wages, about 100 days' wages. It's a few thousand dollars. So he just got forgiven of a debt of millions of dollars that he could never repay. Now he goes and grabs his fellow servant, seizes him by the throat, begins choking him, and demands instant payment. His fellow servant begs him for mercy, asks him for more time to pay the debt. What does he do? Matthew 18, verse 30. But the one who had had the debt forgiven stubbornly refused to forgive what was owed. And he had his fellow servant thrown into prison and demanded he remain there until he repaid the debt in full. Now, when some of the other servants saw what happened, they went and told the king. And in verse 32, the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant." He called him evil. Because do you know, when you're not willing to forgive, God says that's evil. "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me." Give me the next verse. "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" And the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid the entire debt. Now get ready for this verse. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." That's what I say. Wow. God takes this seriously. God has forgiven us of a debt that we could not repay. And he expects us to forgive people who wrong us. Notice it was a small debt that he refused to forgive his fellow servant, a small debt. You know, some people, they know it's wrong to hold a big grudge, but they seem to think they can get by with a little grudge. Jesus told us to forgive if we have aught against anyone. The word ought means any kind of grudge, any kind of wrong feeling about someone at all, any kind of grudge, forgive. Amen. Move on for me, Natalie. In the Song of Solomon, the Passion Translation says it like this: you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. Do you know, often it's not the big things that hinder believers' lives, but it's the little things that they refuse to deal with. Sometimes it's the little oughts that you overlooked that keep your prayers from being answered. The Bible says don't hold anything, big or small, don't hold anything against anybody. In Ephesians 4 verse 31, it says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Notice again, forgiving just as God has forgiven you. God tells us to forgive others just as He forgives us. How does God forgive us? When God forgives you, He forgets it. He blots it out. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't keep reminding you about it. No, He lets it go. Isaiah 43 verse 25, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. I will forget the wrongs you've done. I will never think of them again. That's what the New Living Translation says. Hebrews 8 verse 12, I will forgive the wrongs they have done and I will not remember their sins. You see, if you forgive people in just the same way that God has forgiven you, then you forget about it. You let it go. You don't hold it against somebody. We say we've forgiven them, but we hold a grudge against them. See them coming down the street, cross to the other side. Kenneth Hagin tells a story. He became pastor of a church, and one of the members came to visit him. They wanted to tell him how that another member of the church had mistreated her. And she went on and on and on about what this other person had done. He thought, man, this must have just happened, you know. I just walked into this. When he asked her, when did this happen? She started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He thought she was going to say 8 days ago. She said, next Tuesday, it'll be 8 years. He had such a look of astonishment on his face that she quickly added, now don't misunderstand me. I have forgiven her, but I'll never forget how that devil treated me. Without thinking, he just said, Kenneth Hagin said, sister, you're a bold-faced liar. You haven't forgiven her. Because if you had forgiven her, you would have forgotten about it. You wouldn't be over here telling me all about it 8 years later. We must forgive and forget like God. If you truly forgive, you won't keep reminding people of their past mistakes or how they hurt you or how they let you down. No, man. The devil will try and remind you of things that have happened to you, but you've got to resist those thoughts and say, no, devil, I've forgiven them. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. I've let that go. I've forgiven them, devil. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. Because the enemy will try and remind you of what they did. I've heard Christians say, well, Pastor Steve, I can't forgive like God does because I'm not God. Oh, well, you can, because God wouldn't tell you to do something that you couldn't do. God wouldn't tell you to do something that was impossible for you to do. And the reason that you can forgive is because you may not be God, but you have God within you, and you have the love of God has been put down in your heart. He's given you His love, so you can forgive people with His love. Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you have God's love within you. Really, you may think you're not able to forgive. You may think, well, they hurt me too badly. Maybe your ex caused you a lot of pain. Maybe a friend betrayed you. You just, having a hard time letting it go. Maybe you say, well, I just can't forgive. Let me tell you, Jesus would never tell us to do something we can't do. And again, you're not forgiving for their sake. You are forgiving for your own sake because you don't want anything to hinder God's blessing in your life. You don't want anything to hold you back, anything to hold your faith back, anything to hinder your prayers, man. When you forgive, let me tell you, you take away their power to hurt you. Because the mistake we make so often is we hold on to it. We go around angry and bitter and resentful, and all we're doing is allowing them to continue to hurt us because they're out there enjoying their life. They're not even thinking about it. And you're all here all upset and all man thinking about it. Let me tell you, you're not hurting them by staying angry. You're just allowing them to continue to hurt you. If let me tell you, family, that we're not poisoning their life. It's like we're poisoning our own life. I want to challenge you to make a decision that you're going to live a life of forgiveness, that you are going to forgive anyone who has wronged you, no matter what anyone does to me, man. I refuse to allow unforgiveness in my heart because I know it's going to affect my faith. I know some people who are still mad at someone who's dead and gone. I know people who got unforgiveness toward their parents or a former boss or an ex-spouse. I mean, it's bad enough they hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you and affect your life by holding a grudge against them. No, rather let that go, forgive them, and move on. Because unforgiveness is toxic. It's like a poison. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Unforgiveness is for petty people. It doesn't protect you from being hurt in the future. Unforgiveness just robs you of future opportunities. It limits you. It dwarfs you. It holds you back. It hinders you. It's the greatest hindrance to faith. And so the enemy is going to present us all with opportunities to try and get us into unforgiveness. He's going to try and get us to hold on to things. How you respond will determine whether you win the faith fight. Because if you refuse to forgive, it's going to shut your faith down. That's why it's so important to establish your heart. Make up your mind that you are going to have a spirit of forgiveness no matter what anybody does to you. Because if you will let it go, get rid of that bitterness, let me tell you, your hands are free to receive what God has to release to you. I believe there is blessings coming your way, breakthroughs coming your way. See, God can only let go of what He has for you when you let go of what has been hindering you. Now, this is a message that I know sometimes it cuts deep. It gets into uncomfortable places. It's a message that requires honesty, requires you to do something uncomfortable. You may need to go call your sister that you haven't spoken to in years or reach out to a dad who didn't, you know, raise you. Or it's not about how they react. It's not about whether they do what is right. It's not about them saying the right things to you. No, forgiveness is a gift you give yourself because it cuts off the umbilical cord of your past so that you are free to be birthed into your future. Amen? So I want to encourage you today to make a decision that you will forgive. In fact, stand up with me today. Did you get something out of this today? Stand up with me today and say this. Say, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Father, because of Jesus. Say, I thank you, Father, because of Jesus, you have forgiven me. I have been forgiven, and you do not remember my sin. You do not hold it against me. And you told me that I must forgive others just as I have been forgiven. So do this to say, today, Father, I make up my mind that I'm going to forgive. I release, I forgive anybody who's wronged me, who's hurt me, who's harmed me. I let it go right now. I forgive them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, my heart is clean. My heart is pure. I'm not holding any grudges against anybody. I thank you, Lord, that my faith, it works by love. There's nothing hindering my faith. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to please you by faith. I'm going to receive everything that you have for me through my faith. I'm going to be a faith champion in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Bow your heads for a moment. Father, I thank you today for everyone who's here this morning. I thank you, Father, that you have good plans for our life. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. I thank you that you sent Jesus. I thank you that you have forgiven us of all of our sin, Lord. We are so thankful today on this Thanksgiving week. We're so thankful for your goodness and your blessings and your mercy in our life, Lord. I just thank you, Father, as we go out of here today. I thank you, Father, that your word, that we don't forget your word, that we're not just hearers of your word, but we are doers of your word. We put into practice what we've heard today, and we decide, Lord, we're going to walk in love, and we're going to forgive anyone who wronged us, and we're going to not let anything hinder our faith or hinder our prayers or hinder your will and plan for our life. In Jesus' name. While you have your head bowed, I just want to pray before we go. I want to pray for anyone, listen to me, anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I can't say that I know for certain that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you the good news. You can know for sure that all is right, that all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven and is washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, just quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, JJ. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn to your neighbor. Tell them, I'm glad you were here today. Now listen, after service, directly after service, we have our potluck lunch. Please join us next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm starting a brand new series. It's a series that I've never taught before. It's going to be called The Rescue. And I want to really encourage you to be here next week. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful Thanksgiving. We love you. Join us for potluck lunch. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.